It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle back here, still talking Penn State, Maryland. A lot to say coming off a 59-0 win where Penn State fired on all cylinders and just dominated from start to finish. Coming to you again from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Let's talk offense. You know, I think we talked about the game as a whole. We talked about the defense. Sean Clifford in this game, 26 out of 31, 398 yards, got him on the board with a rushing touchdown early, threw three touchdown passes, was credited with one interception that I put a great deal of credit to Nick Cross, who was a former Penn State target. A lot of us thought that, you know, Penn State really, really had a shot to land Nick Cross. He ends up intercepting a Clifford pass, one of the few bright spots for Maryland, but James Franklin couldn't have been more complimentary of Clifford, not just for the throws he was making, the way that he came out coming out of a bye week, the way that he seemed to grow in that extra week of time. You got to look at the first three games and assess his performance and build off of those. I thought that fact was maybe more encouraging than anything else, but this was a kid who was in rhythm. He was in command. He was shifting protections well. He was doing all the things that don't show up in the stat sheet too. I just thought it was a big performance, not a great Maryland defense. So you have to throw a little grain of salt on here, but the way that Clifford has carried himself, I think has been outstanding anyway. But to see him get more comfortable in all his responsibilities as a quarterback, that's what we saw on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, he did everything right. You know, 26 to 31, 398 said after the game that he wished he had completed a couple more passes so he would have got 400. But, you know, he's third now on the program's all-time passing list in terms of single game yardage. I mean, this was like, you know, when Trace McSorley was on, there were few teams that could stop him. And if this is going to be what Sean Clifford looks like when he's on, you know, this offense is going to continue to hum. So I thought that, you know, with a lot of the stuff that we had seen earlier in the season, the shuffling of the feet sometimes when he was throwing, the missed passes that weren't really close, a lot of that stuff got cleaned up. He said following the win that, you know, they spent a lot of time during a bye week breaking down just everything that they do, be it third down, red zone, goal line, you know, third and long, third and medium, second down, first down, and what little advantages could they gain, and how could he change his play to make those things happen. And he obviously, you know, whatever they scouted him and Ricky Ronnie, they really found on all cylinders a way to fire, and this was the kind of performance I think Penn State fans have been looking for from him, and he delivered in a big way.
Speaking of Ricky Ronnie, I thought they were a move ahead of Maryland all the time, and I think it's easy to be a move ahead when your offensive line is playing the way that they did, when your quarterback's playing the way that it did. But I thought it was a nice feather in the cap for Ricky Ronnie to really have dialed up a lot. And maybe, you know, in that conversation, the most important thing of all is that they've talked about making sure they get KJ Hamler more touches, a variety of touches, making sure he stays involved because he's so explosive. This was one of the first games where they actually backed that up. They made a conscious effort to get the ball in KJ Hamler's hands, which we've sat here before and said, how or why is that not possible in these other games? How are you drifting so far away from that?
Yeah.
This game, they focused on it and they executed that part of it too.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I thought this was one of his best games too. You know, he finishes with the 58-yard touchdown catch. 50 of it was, you know, him running, not the pass. It was a fairly short pass on third down and he just took off, and Jahan Dotson was downfield helping him lead the way. He didn't need a whole heck of a lot of help, but he'll take what he can get. He finishes with 6 for 108 and a touchdown.
That Maryland defensive back that got
turned around,
he's never going to be the same.
No. That's one of those ones that you watch on film, and then you either bury the film or burn it one way or the other. But, this was a chance for Penn State to make sure that their guy was touching the ball in as many ways as he possibly could. He was targeted 8 times, catches 6 of those passes. That's a good number. You know, and you see Cam Sullivan Brown on there, 5 for 35 too. I mean, he's another guy that you're going to see a little bit more of as the season goes on. And we'll have to wait and see on Justin Shorter. You know, that hit, I don't know if it was targeting. I think it was probably 50-50, but he did hit him in the head, so that triggers the review, and he was thrown out fairly quickly to Maryland safety. So now we'll have to wait and see if Shorter's able to play this week.
What do you think about the four-man running back rotation? It's something, and I still stand by that it's a chore to keep them all involved. This was a game where they seemed to press the right buttons with these guys, whether that was scripted or whether that was feel. All of them got involved in some way, shape, or form. All of them did you know, produced at least one really good highlight. I thought even Devin Ford got in there and ran hard. You know, he ran hard and with a little physical edge to him. Like, all four of these guys do deserve to play. This was a game where that rotation worked. Do you think they're figuring it out, or do you think there are going to be more games in the future where you're like, just stick with, you know, running back A, just stick with running back B? In this case, they did it well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it can get frustrating at times when, you know, they say they're going to play the hot hand and then they don't ultimately end up doing that. And I think it provides some confusion. But clearly, at this point, they're going to play these guys, you know, as many times as they see fit per game, whether that's, you know, once or twice or, you know, for four series, for two series. I think some guys are going to get more run than others as games get closer and the season goes on. But, yeah, Devin Ford, 7 carries. Ricky Slade, 8. Journey Brown, 5. Noah Keen, 7. That seems about right, quite frankly. And I would expect that's probably fairly similar to what we'll see all season long at this point. It's become clear how they're going to do this.
And if it keeps working to this extent and you keep, you know, if you can stay out of your own way, then I think you're good. But not a lot of programs try to run four out there. And I think Jaywon Sider even said as much last week that three, okay, four is a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, those were just kind of to characterize his sentiments. Four is a challenge. They conquered that challenge in this game. What did you think? And I'm disappointed I even have to talk about this. About the Onward State article, just saying that there's a certain faction of alumni, speaking of the running backs, that really take exception to that Lawn Boys chain that they put on the sideline.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of that entire conversation? You know, for me, I'm just thinking, why are we giving that minority statement any run whatsoever publicly? You can think that. Of course you can think that. You're all, you know, Penn State's got this interesting divide between traditionalist fans and fans that understand that this is a program that's moving forward. It's hanging on to some of the core concepts of Penn State's tradition and valuing those things. But it is also the year 2019, and things are being done a lot differently than they were at any program. So this chain thing, Penn State is not even close to the first to have anything like that going
They're
on.
They're actually one of the last to get to this table, yeah.
They've held off, and if this is something that, you know, that enhances the bond of these guys in the running backs room, if it's something that gives them a little bit of fun, a little something to do on the sideline, it is not only harmless, I think it's healthy, and it is not a sign of the forthcoming demise. It's not a sign that the locker room is being lost. It's not a sign that Penn State is losing its way. It's losing touch with its roots. It's keeping its roots. It's just, it's being modern. I don't know how else to put it other than
right.
It's being modern. I know there's people who disagree with that, but I just don't understand the sentiment in the first place. I also don't understand giving it an ounce of press, even though we're doing it right now.
Yeah, I just went through and looked at some of the stuff related to this, and I'm a little bit confused. I mean, I guess it just goes back to the point of, you know, this community, this fan base, there's going to be times when change happens, and it's going to, in some instances, it'll be well received, and in other instances, it won't be. And some groups of the fan base will love stuff like this, some will not care even a little bit, and some will just, you know, hate it. And that's been the case for as long as I can remember. So, yeah, I think that, you know, if it's something that gives a guy, and I know that the response to this could be, well, if guys need a chain to feel a certain way or to get fired up or to go out and play well, whatever, then that's its own problem. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. But, you know, if the guys like it and it's something they can do to add a little bit of fun, a little bit of levity to the situation, then so be it.
Yeah, I guess it's just, the Penn State fan base has had this sort of, you know, butting of heads, one side versus the other, going back to when everything went down in 2011. And you have fans who feel a certain way and, you know, fans who kind of live in the moment. Take, you know, look at the program as a whole. It's winning games. It's playing at a high level. It's got maybe more talent on the field right now than it has in decades. It's taking care of business in the classroom. You know, like that area of it hasn't dropped off. It's respecting the tradition. James Franklin, you can love him or hate him. There's also a faction that is never really going to embrace or accept his methods. But he's sticking with the core idea that these are our athletes and students at the same time. I just don't know what more you want. If this is something that bothers you, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
No, I don't either. I just can't see it worked up over something like this. But so it goes, I guess.
This is where we are, and we're talking about it because fans are talking about it. You know, if you check in on message boards, God help you. But this is part of the dialogue that's happening. Just the whole dynamic of it, and the fact that it would be a complaint. I went into this game, Greg, thinking that Penn State's defensive line was the most focal point. It was the most important matchup to capitalize on an advantage there. You felt like they did that. You know, they got pressure. They sent extra bodies, but not so, you know, but they were also around the ball at all times. It was like the strategy was, we're going to send some guys. We're also going to be pretty tight to the line of scrimmage. We're going to be prepared for short passes, and we're going to let our guys kind of defend the deep stuff if that comes their way.
Right, yeah, and they – once they got a lead there, they just Maryland was already playing down alignment, then another one got hurt, and they just kind of pinned their ears back and went for it. I mean, they said, you know what, we're going to send six or seven, and we're just going to try and get home, or if we don't, we're going to make you throw a bad pass or just throw it away. And, you know, I think they were only credited for three QB hurries, which is probably a little bit low, because they seemed to be in the backfield almost the whole game.
And I thought that was a game that they needed. That was a lift that this group needed. James Franklin called them out coming off that Pitt game. And I circle back to beating Pitt. And it's just funny how a couple weeks can go by. This season plays out one chapter at a time. And we're always ready to judge the whole book off the most recent chapter. We're all guilty of that. Then everything gets turned on its ear when they come out like this, including the defensive line that got some pressure. You know, they stepped up to the plate. They responded to James Franklin's, you know, criticism, if you want to put it that way. And Penn State just owned this game. And it was the perfect time of the year for them to own a game going into the meat of the schedule, Purdue this weekend. And then it gets a whole lot tougher. We're about to start finding out even more about this team. 59-0 over Maryland. Let's see if it's a springboard into the future. We're springing ahead here. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're going to hear from James Franklin right after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.